Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Toka Podcast, the best show about tokusatsu you've probably never heard of, and I'm guaranteeing you've never heard of. I'm your host, AJ. That's Jay.
Hello. It's been a while.
It has. And that's Phil.
Meh.
Movie. I watched a movie today. It had something to do with tokusatsu. I'm not really sure, though.
I think it did. Giant hands.
It had cogs.
It had giant hands, plot holes, homoeroticism,
Kenji Ochoa,
and explosions.
As far as the eye could see.
And even CGI. So, watched Kamen Rider Build XA Generations 2 Final Boogaloo
featuring Dante insert, Devil May Cry series.
insert your title extension here. Because, like, it's just...
Yeah.
How I want to do this is we're going to run through this movie first, and then we're going to give our thoughts... This one and the first one, because I know that we did do the first one, but I don't think we were able to get that episode out because something fucked up. I don't know why.
Probably.
It's just.
Are we talking about Dr. Pac-Man?
Yeah.
No. Wait. What? That was Heisei Generation.
Yeah, I think we got that up, didn't we?
No, I don't think we ever did.
I think Rob was with us. I don't remember.
Yes, he was there, but I don't think we had it, but I don't think we got it out.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, so many like jokes.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways, we watched the movie. So, we're going to go through it. We're going to go through, you know, the goods, the bads, the uglies, how we always do it. So, this off mainly because I'm going to start off, of course, as usual with the bad because I want to get the negative out of the way because there's a lot of this movie. There really are. But there's just certain things that really got to me with this movie. Do mainly with the older writers. There was really nothing to complain about with, you know, XA Build. Hell, even with Ghost and it was mainly Forze and O's that had plot holes. Where do I begin?
See, now I'm trying to think of what you mean because I didn't notice because I'm the O's obsessive, so I would have noticed it, but I didn't. So
let's start with Forze because his is the easiest one to explain, at least production wise, even though it's a very lazy explanation.
Yeah.
Know that Forze destroyed his Forze driver in I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was the one where they all crossed over with Wizard.
Ultimatum, I believe. The one that had Inazuman in it for no particular reason.
I never saw that, so I never knew that.
Yeah, it's not very good.
But in canon, Forze destroyed his O's driver by chucking it into a fucking volcano.
Forze destroyed his O's driver.
Oh my!
I caught it, but yeah, he destroyed his driver by throwing it into a fucking volcano, and now he just has it again.
Around, yeah, there's just a random, completely unguarded magma pool in the middle of the city. You know, normal.
Everyone has a volcano. Everybody.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, near their local McDonald's, it's just something that they have. If you don't have one, you're just fucking weird.
On the volcanoes.
Anyways.
I forgot. Anyways, So he has his driver back. And I thought to myself, why? So I actually looked it up. I researched this. And
yeah, they actually give it in a very, very quick throwaway line. But if you aren't autistic like me and remember every single detail of the fucking previous movies, you wouldn't know unless you looked it up. So what happens is, sorry to interrupt you and just do this, but how they do it is they have a very, very quick throwaway line at the beginning of the movie where it's like, oh, he's up in Russia, meaning Yukiko and, or Yukiko, well, that's her name, right?
Yuki
and Kengo.
Yuki and Kengo, oh, and Russia for this big space mission that they're going on. hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Basically, they couldn't get her actress.
No, basically setting up that it takes place right before all the stuff in Ultimatum. So they don't even have to worry about him getting the belt back. Which is...
Oh my god!
Well, no, see, that doesn't make any fucking sense. That makes... Oh my god!
That doesn't... Yeah!
That makes it even worse!
Exactly.
No, that makes it even fucking worse, because the whole Forze thing, right? Saw that line, I didn't pay attention to it. I just thought, oh, Yuki and Kengo just went to Russia because they're astronauts now. That's it. But now that you reminded me, holy fuck, that's before Ultimatum. Does that mean Wizard takes place after fucking Build? Or during Build?
God, I don't know.
No, it would be after Xaid because it's on an alternate Earth.
Yeah, I will say.
But like, what? What? Hey, that just fucks everything up so bad.
They said that in a early pre-release material, and I'm like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And it's
to go with the explanation that I was going to go with the explanation that one of the writers gave, not writers, writers gave before the movie came out, where they're saying, we just kind of forgot we destroyed it, so let's just say they built a new one somewhere along the line.
I mean, see, that's easy. It's just like you could say, oh, maybe we rebuilt it, you know? No, we have to have it take place before the movie, so...
It's just, that raises
that makes no questions. Sense.
Exactly, Phil.
It just no sense, because then that makes it seem like... Because Forze, he knows about Gaim.
Yeah.
He doesn't know? Like, so what this is telling me is that Forze... met Gaim, or Wizard ever did.
Probably.
And Gaim just never thought of just saying, hey, what's up, buddy?
They didn't have time. They could only film Forze and Gaim for like 10 minutes each, so.
Makes no sense.
What's the point of even having them in there if you're only going to get 10 minutes of Kota?
I think Kota wanted to come back in anyways.
Hey, I like Kota. I like his actor.
I mean, think of it this way, Phil. It's been 5 years since Gaim.
And we didn't get him. God, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, let that sink in and scare you.
Yeah, it's...
I am old.
It's really noticeable that Fukushi and Sano couldn't be in the movie for as long as they wanted, so... All of their scenes conveniently take place in the same exact location.
Yeah.
But you know, it's fine. But seriously, thinking about that.
Gakko sounded good for his age.
They all do.
Papa Gaim. He looks like a dad.
Yeah. Isn't he a dad in real life?
Not yet, I think.
I think so. Looks like he could be. But going back to this, because I can't let go... I can't let this go. You fuck up your timeline this bad.
Wait till you get to the alternate Earths.
Yeah, this isn't even the worst part of the timeline. It's just they don't even give a shit on regards to Build or anybody else. It's just all over the goddamn.
At least with alternate Earths, you can sort of let that go, because at least Build is on his own completely.
Yeah.
Something when you have a main timeline where explain that this happens after this, after this, after this. I'm sorry, but I didn't see anybody using an iPhone fucking 8 in Ultimatum.
Where did you?
Anybody using a fucking Vita in Ultimatum. Some bullshit. That's almost like big of leap of logic as when Xaid was supposedly playing like in the mid-2000s. And they were, like, showing footage of Tekken 7.
Oh, yeah, that pissed me off.
Only times 10. Because you just fucked up your timeline.
Wait, they actually did that?
Because remember, Bandai owns Tekken, so they were able to show him playing that game.
But Tekken 7 didn't come out until a couple years ago.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny. But, yeah, it's just that leap of logic. How the fuck...
It's called Don't Think About It.
And now, that just fucking ruins it.
Yeah.
let's pretend that that makes any sort of sense in any sort of realm of reality if you're not retarded. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just pretend.
Amen.
Biggest problem with O's, at least, are the way the metals work.
Oh, God.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought you were supposed to have a certain amount of core metals, and the ones that they lost, you know, the three that make the combos, I thought those were going to make them complete.
No. So what it was is that they needed, because they had the one core that was their personality in sense. So, you know, if they have that, they're fine, but everything else just makes them stronger. So they really only technically need one. But here it's just, whatever, here's the medals, so we have a convenient set of all three, so Oz can use them, even though he only uses two different forms.
But also,
okay, so then, by that logic, then Eiji had four core, red core medals. Assume that the broken core medal and the regular core medal, which I would believe it was Taka, came one? Is that what it's implying, or is it that there's actually four and Ankh should have not disappeared?
What it was is that there was the three that Foundation X made, which were the silver one, ringed ones, and then there was the original one that AG was still holding onto, the gold rim. As for what the hell happened, I think it was...
Because I can understand him getting his soul or heart back or whatever the fuck you want to call it. The logic of what is going on here, unless they explain to me the gold core medal was the one that gave him personality back.
It was, yes. That was Ankh's original
personality. Okay, but then when he technically go back to just being an arm or something? Because he still has one.
You know,
three silver rings.
Yeah, then again...
When you think about it, it starts going a bit wonky, because
it only used
the silver-ringed ones.
It's already wonky in regards to that. I mean, if you remember, there's two Ankhs and all that shit, so...
Oh, God.
Yeah, remember?
I think because this, before he gets his original personality back, he's the full version. I don't think it's supposed to matter.
It's supposed to be full.
I don't know. It was just... I guess it's just we're not supposed to think about it.
One of these things where... I know that I'm technically not supposed to think about it. I'm just supposed to just see it and that's it. But with something like this, I would expect at least of continuity or some respect to the original, you know, rules of these powers. Because logic... Okay, again, like Phil was saying earlier while you were off, the greeds basically needed their full set to go full power.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They only had three. Again, they only had three. More of that.
That's more where you're getting into the crossover thing, where I guess they just don't have the incomplete suits anymore or whatever, so they just use the full forms or... I don't know, Foundation X bullshit.
But that's one of those things that I'm just like, okay, so then we're just gonna assume that these metals are just automatically stronger or something?
I guess. I don't know. It's Foundation X. Yeah. I ain't gonna explain shit.
Fucking pointless.
The whole thing is so wonky. When you really think about it, it's such a wonky premise when you try and bring that stuff in. Because I'm like, with Mega Max, it sort of made sense. There was time travel and blah, 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 blah. And with Ultimatum, fucking stupid, but at least it made some sort of semblance of sense. And this one is just Foundation X.
I think the implication, at least, is that, I don't know, they temporarily merged or whatever. It was like, he put the broken half inside the body, which allowed them to reactivate or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it's really all that important in the long run.
I think they should have just gone with the idea of, well, this is a parallel world thing, right?
Yeah.
Just fuck it. It would be stupid, but than this.
Yeah.
Because we've already seen that parallel worlds have one of each person.
Well,
there's a Sento somewhere running around. There's a Gaiman his. They established that with the introduction. I remember his name from the movie, so I'm just gonna call him Kaiser. They established it. There's a parallel version of that world.
Yeah. Okay. So I get you there. I don't know. I think it's just it's fan service. Don't think about it too hard. And I agree with you. It's kind of annoying. It didn't really make much sense.
It kind of did take me out of the movie a few times, where I'm just thinking to myself, this doesn't work technically.
Yeah, a lot of the fan service was just kind of thrown in. It really feels like I don't know. It didn't work as well as it did in the previous movie.
Legitimately, to me, I'm going to keep using that word. It felt wonky. It felt very much like you said, just, oh, we need fan service. We need this. We need that. Just toss it in there.
I don't know. I mean, when you're getting into alternate universe shenanigans, there's always going to be the argument of, well, it's not the original character then, so why you bother bringing them back? And you know what? I'll agree with you there. That's kind of lame, especially if you're mixing the original characters and alternate universe shit, because that's what happened with Decade, and we don't want another Decade again. Well,
yeah.
some people want another Decade. Those people are weird.
Oh, see, we already have alternate universe fucking name. Of all times, I forget his name now. I can't believe I forgot his fucking name.
Who?
Kaiser.
No, Kiva's dad.
Otoya?
Oh, what? Otoya!
I can't believe, of all times, I forget his name. It's now. But yeah, like, we basically have my headcanon that this motherfucker over here is Otoya, or fucking Neo Fangire's papa somewhere running around.
You know what? That's a perfect...
I'm keeping to that.
There's no other answer. It's canon now. All right.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
I mean, technically, it could kind of work. I mean, when was the big Fangire war thing with Kiva?
The modern day stuff was 2008.
The past stuff was 1988.
87, I think.
From what time did the child come from?
They never said. They just, yeah. It's just from the future.
So came from 2017.
He's talking about Wataru's son.
Yeah.
I'll just say that it's Otoya, that it's reincarnated Otoya or Wataru's son in this timeline. Just fuck it.
The time differences, we can just assume like mid 2020s. I don't know.
So who's his mother?
Who cares?
It's not important. I don't know. The fucking Macintosh 98. I don't know.
Tatsalot.
Tatsalot is not a girl.
Not with that attitude.
He fucked the robot girl bat, Kivala. He fucked that thing. So we don't want another alternate reality thing, because let's be honest, nobody likes Decade. You can say you like Decade, but you don't like the show, you like the guy.
Yeah, we like the guy, not the show.
Actually, you like Decade's show, and I'm just like, God, you guys fucking suck. Anyways.
Yeah,
show did give us Abyss, who I love.
Anyways, I agree. It was kind of lazy, and it really did take me out of the movie a bit. But I'm like, you know what? All of this is really perfect, just fan service. You know what? Fuck it. I don't really care. It's not trying to be anything great when it's coming to fan service, so I'll take it. I don't really...
But like, I understand that that side of the argument where it's, you know, it's just fan service, just have fun. But I'm like, you're doing this. Heisei Generations 1. That was just fan service, and it was fucking great. Nothing else, but at least it respected the rules, and it made sense when things shouldn't have. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. It at least makes some sort of sense. Like, think of it this way, right? Fight the Bugsters.
Mm-hmm.
From what I remember, the X8 icon from Heisei Generations 1.
Oh, yeah, I remember that shit.
Yeah.
By all accounts, he should be able to fight these Bucksters. Or are we just supposed to assume somewhere along the line, Wizard just yoinked it from him and he's like, fake, and he just ran off?
I mean, probably. I mean, they probably don't have the suit anymore, so they couldn't bother with it.
Between the a year in between, they just fucking lost it.
It was already like scrap parts. They probably just broke it down again.
About it.
They usually don't save the movie forms, is the thing. So,
which is why we didn't get Super Tatoba.
Yeah,
it's ugly. No one likes it.
I like it. I like it.
It looks like fucking candy, but like the type of Mexican candy where no one actually likes it. It just kind of gets made.
I'm betting some people are gonna go, oh, he should have gone into Puto too because that was his final form. No.
You see, those Putos can listen to me when I say that he can't use it anymore.
Exactly. Because it'll kill him.
That's more than anybody. Puto Tira was only able to get used by him mainly because he didn't have any desire. He kind of does now.
Pretty much. And the closest tie-up form he can have is Tajador, which, by the way, is arguably cooler looking than Puto Tira.
Look, it's a more symbolic thing that he used it. It doesn't really matter whether he can or not. Who gives a shit?
It's a gay pride symbol, goddammit. Let him use it.
Exactly.
You know, you keep saying that about Ankh and Eji when I kept saying more of that with Parrot and Emu.
Listen, that wasn't that okay, was not look, gay because they were the same person.
With Parade and M, it's fine.
Parrot.
It's like, all right, Parasol and M, you know, it's whatever. The same person is basically masturbation. With exactly. Fucking Ankh and Eji, it's like, I don't care who you are. Like, all you need to do is watch that fucking scene of them in, like, the ocean.
Watch any scene of them, really.
Like, God. God damn, that is just 3 levels of homoeroticism, man. All they need to do was, like, start running on the beach in tank tops.
Yeah, but we all know who's boning Hina on the side.
there was probably a whole lot of weird sex shit going on we don't even need to know about. Moving on.
Those ice pops are phallic for a reason. Anyways.
Oh, God!
I was expecting we weren't going to go there tonight.
There. We're on Podbean now. We don't have sensors. Anyways.
That's right.
Let's move on from O's because, let's be completely honest, if I keep thinking about it, and we already have an O's episode planned, so we'll keep it for then.
Anyways, yeah. Gaim.
That's true. Before we move on, I kind of expected to see him a bit more in, like, with his underwear stuff. You know what I mean? But besides that, I'm trying to think of anything else I could really for with a bit of a, like, X. Really, the only thing I could think of is looked a bit too wonky. It just looks kind of dumb after a while.
My biggest issue with the movie's overall pacing,
too long.
I was gonna say, yeah, I agree with you with the pacing. That it is a bit too long. Like it felt like certain scenes long, and there's certain things that just didn't need to be there. Like the whole thing with Banjo. I didn't need Banjo going around asking, why are we here just to suffer? I didn't need that.
He was still questioning.
That part kind of bothered me, and I guess it's more that this was written way, way, way earlier in the show than where we are now. So I'm like,
why is it sparkling? But that's a really weird thing. Okay, so I'm going to be completely transparent. I haven't seen Build after episode 20. But
you got a long way.
But before that, at least episode 4-ish, maybe 5, over this already? He was already over this weird, why do we fight or whatever? It's like, I thought we were over this already. Like, why do we need this arc in the movie?
It definitely smells of this was written way earlier in the show, and we just didn't really think about where we're going to go from here, I guess, totally.
Well, also, you could say that he's only seen this through Sento, and he's not understanding, okay, I know that Sento does this more often, but he's never experienced other people doing that just to risk their own lives.
I suppose so, but it's also this weird thing of like, man, I'm thinking to myself, like Jay said, this was obviously written, parts of it were obviously written way earlier in the show's lifespan. Other parts were written, like, you know, that the owner is bloodstock.
Yeah, just say
stupid stock. Way to say it.
But when they say
just say bloodstock, people,
Brad Stark.
It sounds way better.
Tony Stark's brother, Brad Stark. One thing that kind of annoyed me is that all of the, like, actual crossover stuff with our heroes only happens at, like, the very end of the movie. Because throughout the entire movie, Senta's hanging out with fucking Peyred, and then, you know, Bonja's actually getting the whole treatment, meeting all the writers and getting all the fun stuff, and I'm like, I mean, okay, it makes sense for his whole character arc in the movie of him trying to figure out what it means to be a hero. Okay, it's been there, but it's kind of annoying because I expected Sento, like, you know, there's all these little bits where you expect, like, the writer's gonna meet and do all these jokes. Like, I know everybody was really hoping for, like, a Dan meeting Coda bit, and, you know, it's like, oh, I'm God. It's like, oh, hey, cool, that's so am I. Join the club. Stuff like that, and it doesn't happen. Because
club of writers who have become deities.
Yeah, it's a small club. Not counting villains, it's like three.
So we've got Agito. We technically got Kuga. Technically, if you want to really be really technical, I guess Kabuto's in there somewhere.
Kabuto's not a god.
He is considering himself a god.
He thinks he is, but he's not.
I mean, then again, by that logic, so is Dan.
Actually, we got to talk about Dan, because, oh dear God. Dan,
when we get to, like, the good stuff.
I hated Dan in this movie, I'm not going to lie. He was kind of obnoxious to me.
Blasphemy!
I liked it. You know what? It was weird.
It was...
I'll explain myself more when we get to the good bit.
I liked the bit with him and Onari, and I think that's the only time anybody has ever said I enjoyed something involving Onari from Ghost. So
I'll liked at least Onari. Give him
that. He had his moments.
Well, okay, fair.
Honest here, without Onari, Ghost would have had no heart.
Oh, Ghost doesn't even fucking do anything in this movie. He's just there.
Can someone please like vindicate me with this? Because the whole time Ghost was speaking, you know, usually he has that really happy-go-lucky attitude, but in this like movie, he's like, oh, hey guys.
He's just kind of phoning it in. I'm not like they couldn't even bother to get his hair right. He's just got black hair. I don't know what's up with that. It's really weird.
He has had black hair.
No.
In the last one, didn't he?
No, he had the blonde hair still. He's gone back to
normal. Just say in between, I guess we could just say in between movies he just kind of said fuck the hair.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's weird. Like they bother giving a fucking throwaway line to explain why Forze has his belt, but they don't with the hair or even anything like that. I don't know. I know it's not because, important.
It's because no one likes Ghost.
Exactly.
I think we made that very clear a few years ago when you guys did the review.
I just want everyone to know that no one likes Ghost, and if you do, you're part of the weakest race.
Hey, I liked him in this movie because, like I said, he doesn't fucking do anything and has no involvement in the plot whatsoever.
And I can say this, at least in the early parts of the show, from like from October to December, it was okay.
Anyways,
one more.
But yeah, with Ghost, it was with Ghost, it was a weird thing because I'd say he was phoning it in. I really do. I really do think that the director told him to speak like that because he was very some ghost I guess. Yeah, like he was very calm. Like very calmed down from like the ghost that and granted ghost in like the original show was this bombastic loud mouth, but he's like, hi guys, I'm good. What's wrong with you, buddy? Like, you get off your fucking high or something?
I don't know. Well, remember, they had other writers to deal with.
But, like, his character, if you can call it that, was really not... I know that's weird saying character when it's referring to Ghost, but I don't know. There's something. There was something to him that just felt...
No, I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah.
So I guess
like everybody else was exactly on character. Like they were on point. It was just him that just felt like fuck it.
I know. I guess it's just his lack of screen presence that does that. So
when you have people like AG and fucking you have AG, you have fucking Gendo, and you have Kota. Now, again, I'm not really a big fan of Kota, but you can't deny his screen presence is giant. And you have him next to, like,
Takaru. He's so fucking popular. Yeah, he's just a naturally charismatic character and a naturally charismatic actor.
Pretty much.
Have him next to Takaru, it's like... You know what it's like? It's like having fucking... Having The Rock stand next to... Byron. I don't know, Alex Wright. Different on that one.
Yeah.
I went for Alex Wright, Das Wunderkind. Anyways.
One quick really thing that I didn't like is they introduced, you know, there's the two what was his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. It's like Rogami, Hokami, something like that.
The main guy. The main bad guy, right?
Villain. Kaiser.
The Kaisers, yeah.
Kaya Mogami.
Thank you. Mogami. Is that they, you know, they give all the backstory to his build universe self, and alright, that's fine, but... And then there's his main timeline self, who just exists.
Interesting.
We know nothing about him. He's just hanging out with Foundation X. Does he work for them? Is he their new leader?
I think it's semi-sort of not really implied that he's the scientist who made that shit.
I mean, yeah, obviously. He's hanging around with all this giant robot shit, but... I mean,
either get Madonna or you get the Borg.
I don't know. They at least give the backstory for one of them, but, I mean, you know, the other half just kind of is there. It's kind of lazy. I will
say... And see, that's the biggest thing.
Also, I'm mad that they covered up Otsuki's cool-ass scar... on the build self. Like, they had the justification where he gets shot in the face with lightning, and then they don't have it on there after that, but his normal timeline self has it, so... I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It's like...
Because, I mean, it's not like that's, like, makeup they used for the movie. That's something he usually has on, like, his stage performances and stuff like that. I think it might be a tattoo. I don't know. But it's something he's worn out in, like, performances... very frequently, so it's weird that they had it on one version of him, but then covered it up on another, even after giving a justification to have it on the other version. I don't know.
I mean, I guess, when you see that scar on his face, and you also see, like, half of his face is the Borg, it's like, it's kind of overly designed there.
Yeah, it's a little distracting.
It would look a bit overly designed, yeah.
I don't know, they could have done it easier where they just have, like, the very small robot eye, they have the scar there, and then they've got, like, I don't know, makeup or whatever, like, other burn, scar, whatever makeup. I don't know.
To be honest, I mean, you would wonder, like, why the fuck does this guy look so semi-pristine when he got basically shocked by electricity all over the body?
You know. It's
like Anakin magic. Skywalker after 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't really think of anything that really... This is going to sound really blasphemous, but I think halfway towards the ending, climax with a big fight where everyone's fighting and then they're fighting by Kaiser. I'm just like...
Yeah, the actual final fight in this movie was lame in comparison to the previous one. It just kind of drags on.
We didn't have Ricky.
It reminded me of O's and Forza movie wars, the fight on the satellite. Well, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, the actual final fight, the final boss fight with X8 and Build against Bai Kaiser is very reminiscent, where you've got them doing all sorts of, you know, flips and wacky shit with CG, and it looks really kind of awkward. Tacky. But
cool and awkward. At the same
time. Actually, speaking of awkward CG flips, one thing I loved about this movie is how much they used, like, wire works and actual practical stunts throughout the entire
movie. I was actually going to mention that, but again, we'll keep it for the good, but I will put that as a note. Yeah.
It's just like when we watched the Ultraman movie.
So,
That movie was just boring. This has actually got some stuff to it.
But no, what I was going to
say... This actually has, like, stakes.
What I was going to say is that the final fight in the previous one, where we got, you know, we have the elongated segments with each writer, and they've all got their, you know, they go through all their forms, and they get their theme songs blaring. It's this really cool collection of stuff, and then we get the movie theme kick in when they go into their final forms and stuff. And in this one, it's... They try to do that, and then they just... don't.
See, I feel like they didn't want to do a repeat, but instead they just kind of played their in-show themes, not the opening themes. And I'm like...
Yeah.
But it kind of highlights how, like, a bit dull some of those battle themes were after a while. Yeah. Like, Gaim's still... It still sounds fantastic. Gaim's is great. Also, just... You know, that's what his theme is.
Yeah.
What?
Also...
That's Ghost's theme.
But, I mean, I thought it was annoying where we only get, like, one form each until the final form bit. And so, I mean, like... So, I mean, AG gets to use Gotakiriba for the first time since, like, episode 10.
It's a budget.
Yeah, they had a budget, so they could finally use it again.
Yeah. Like, at that exact moment, you could see the budget go from 200,000 yen to 250 million yen. I'm like, fuck.
Also, did you guys notice something? The suits looked much shinier than they normally did.
They actually gave a shit to clean them.
Also, some of the electronics were very different, like Eiji's transformation scene and also the controller pad on the Forza driver.
I was gonna say that, well, yeah, it did look a bit different. You've noticed that a lot of the sounds from all the belts were very down, like they were, like the volumes were very lowered. What was it? Like, usually you would hear like Mighty Action X, and it would be like super in your face, like Mighty Action, like just super loud. And this one is just like
Mighty Action X.
You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, Mighty Action X.
Yeah, that is true. Even
it's like they got Hironobu Kageyama, like, stand really far away. He's like, okay, say it.
Mighty Action X.
They just get like they get fucking like Ankh's voice actor stand on top of the building. That's great. We'll use it. That's kind of what it sounds like.
To me, a lot of the stuff.
It was really awkward, especially with Ankh, because like. When Eiji used the Tajador. Hondor, whatever. So,
Hondor.
So when you hear...
Han Solo the movie.
Yes, I get what you're trying to say with the audio, where it sounds really kind of muffled. I think from what I remember hearing is that it's because they set it to be in surround sound for the theaters, and then they just don't bother fixing it going into the DVD rips. Or that it's because
to sound right as if it's in surround sound, I guess.
Or because we're watching it on their fucking shitty computers, not our fancy sound systems, it doesn't sound right.
Give it a try, because I do have, like, my TV that with the surround sound speakers. I mean, I could see what that would sound like, and I'll put, like, a little get something in here audio-wise where I'm like, oh, this sounds different, or no, it doesn't sound fucking anything at all. If I remember to do that, I'll put it here, and you'll find out if it sounds different or not. But yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, what else? I mean, there really wasn't anything else besides that that I really think was a very big bad thing. Maybe the exclusion of a real movie theme would be a thing. I mean, because let's be honest, like, movies, we have had really good themes. We had Re-Ray for Drive, which was fantastic. The singer is a fantastic man. We had, I can't remember the name for, I remember really enjoying that one.
Which one? Cut out.
Movie theme for Ghost. The crossover with Drive, I should be specific.
Oh, that one. I don't even remember that one.
Neither do I.
But it was a nice little song.
I don't even think I watched that one. I didn't even watch that one because I didn't bother.
It was a nice song, and I liked it. And then you had, you know, Battle Game for Exit and Ghost, which was just fucking fantastic.
I'm legit annoyed about that too, especially since they already had Ken Jeotsky there. They might as well have gotten to do a fucking song, but yeah, you know, whatever.
Fuck you.
Gotta get that extra budget for that extra shininess.
We had to use Gota Kiriba in this movie. We didn't have the money for anything else at all.
Could he use Lata Rafa?
What do you think? We only used Gakusano for 10 minutes.
Actually, you know what? That makes perfect sense. They probably decided.
We used all the budget on Gota Kiriba, so Gakusano couldn't act.
or use Jimber.
That actually makes perfect sense, to be entirely honest.
But ruining budgets since 2011. That should be a t-shirt. That should be a t-shirt we should make. We'll make that a t-shirt. Got to carry
and
ruining the
sell
budget.
It.
It's just the logo on the chest. It's like destroying your budget since 2011.
There you go. We'll put that up on a fucking red bubble like next.
Etsy. We'll put on Etsy for like $20.
Robot, is that even still a thing? I don't remember.
No,
it's still a thing.
Oh, I don't remember. Dude, I don't go on that site.
I don't know.
So, yeah.
Somebody would probably buy that if we made that a shirt. I'm not going to lie.
Unlikely. But it really wasn't much that I could really say was bad. Really, towards the end, I just kind of felt, I feel kind of bored.
Yeah, I agree. Once we got the obligatory it's space time bit, I just kind of lost interest in the movie. So.
Same.
Like, after we had AG, and then we had it's space time. I'm just like, end. It can end, and I won't be mad about it. I mean, the funniest thing about this movie was that they showed how fucking useless Takaru was again.
Yeah,
useless. Really, it's like
if they just
one, you get your ass kicked by bug, you get your ass kicked by bugsters, then you don't even get to save anybody. And then at the end of the movie, the most you get out of a final form fight is just three random jack-offs.
Again, if they had given him the ghost form like he had in Surprise Future, we wouldn't have this problem.
Oh, well.
That would imply they wanted to make Ghost look good, and I don't think they even care.
See, back then, that was making Ghost look good. Now he's a wuss.
Blame parents.
And I feel bad because his actor's actually pretty good.
He doesn't have a bad actor, especially since, you know, that was his first gig as an actor. But again, in this movie, they didn't use him at all. And really, like, low energy. Like, I'm Ghost, guys.
He's not a bad actor. He just has bad direction.
Has a bad show.
Yeah, that's the thing. You could be a great actor, but the director can lead you some way, so, it can lead you into doing a bad performance.
Attack of the Clones.
No, I was actually going to say Mark Wahlberg in The Happening, but yeah, Star Wars.
Oh. I love that movie. I love that movie so bad.
What? No! I'm talking to a plastic plate.
We so bad. Anyways, let's go
to, good.
Yes, let's get to the good. And I'll just throw out my good right now. I missed seeing my boy Edgy. That was great. That's all I need from the movie.
I thought Dan was your boy.
I agree. All I needed was AG to show up for more than 5 minutes.
Same.
And do something. And
I have a club of boys. And in that club, it's Deneb, it's Otoya, and it's fucking Shotaro. They're all my boys. They're my boys.
You got a club of boys? That's a little gay. I'm not going to lie, man. No homo, bro, right?
Edgy, you're going to say that something's gay?
Dude, I'm fucking with you. Of course it's gay. I fucking loved it.
You're going to say that's so gay, boy? Look, have you seen O's?
Dude, they brought Ankh back. I don't give a shit how bad this movie ended up being. He came back. This is an automatic 10 out of 10 for, all right?
Like, can I say one thing?
Hold on. Let me just say this real quick. I will say, AG and Ankh look like they haven't aged a fucking day.
No, they haven't.
AG
they look great.
Had a little bit of a 10 o'clock shadow, but other than that, or 5 o'clock shadow, rather.
I mean, that kind of works because he's a hobo. I mean, where's he going to fucking shave?
Good point.
Pretty much. But can I just say one thing about AG?
Where does he take a shower?
I fucking love his actor. I fucking love his actor. You see him when
he's great.
When you see him with Ankh, he does something that is big when it comes to acting for me. He actually emotes from his face, and he's charismatic, and I love him, and I keep saying, please, somebody give him a good gig, please.
Everyone, I think everybody who watches Ryder can honestly say, AG, he is one of the most charismatic actors of any show. He's pretty just much so good. He's a really good actor. He's on the top of like one of my favorite writers just because his actor is so likable. Yeah. Give it this way. The part where M is explaining to Banjo, oh, this is why we're writers and blah, blah, blah. AG, if he wanted to, he could have just sat there, no expression on his face. No. He was there. He was like, yeah, I'm smiling. Ha ha. Look at me. I'm actually emoting. I'm a human being agreeing with you. I'm like, wow. It's for any of this shit, man. I wish he could speak English so he could get a role here.
Dude, if I ever write a movie that's set in Japan with a Japanese lead character, I'm saying to them, cast him as the lead.
I really do wish that he like spoke English because like perfectly, because he would be America.
He pretty much would.
Yeah.
He's such a good actor. I love the guy. And I think he's working on a doctor drama right now, isn't he?
He is?
Something like that.
And
I heard about that.
Oh, we gotta watch it just to see him.
Again, he's a great actor. He's a great actor, and his talents were squandered, man. They were squandered.
Especially in Attack on Titan.
Yeah, but Attack on Titan has no potential. Anyways. It's just, it's sad. It's sad to see him here because I'm like, man, I wish you were here after coming off like a big movie or something. But damn it, it's good to see him back.
Yeah.
Squished, the most squishable face I've ever seen on a man.
Good to see a lot of people back. You know, obviously Gintaro, it's been literally ages since he's last.
And the one six, that no one years, thought would come back. Honest.
The one 6 years. Ever thought would come back.
It was like writer's gay.
Are you talking about Forze?
No, it's
Gintaro's agency. It was Gintaro's agency. He was like, no, fuck writer, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Do you wanna know how long it's been since Forze was on the air? Forze aired when I was a senior in high school, and I'm 2 years out of college as of last week. That's how long it's been.
That's what I'm saying. Like with Forze's actor, it was his agency who was basically saying like, fucking writer. You're too good for this. Get out of here.
It's basically like Deno's actor. Except he's like,
see, at least with actor, it's a thing of like, he would come back if he could. He's just too busy with Forza's. His agency literally told him, no, you're not going to come back.
Yeah, he was getting cock-blocked for a while with it. It was kind of a shit show.
Did he change agencies? Or is it still the same one?
I think he's still in the same one. I actually don't know.
See, that's something
I guess they just kind of said, fuck it.
I don't remember.
I love it that all those writers love their love being a writer and are willing to come back because they loved it so much.
See, that's kind of a main theme or an underlying theme that I saw in this movie, that all the actors they got back absolutely loved their jobs.
Pretty much.
Genshiro loved being Forze. Eiji loved being Oz. Kota fucking time. And Takaru, as much as the show sucked, he liked it. He loved it.
Well, he made it enough to make a Magikarp named Onari.
Yeah. I remember that.
I love their jobs. You know what? At least if they were going to get anybody, they at least got the people who love their roles.
Yeah.
Which is more than we can say for Power Rangers, but there's reasons for that.
Right. Fuck them. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, other than... honestly, I'm trying to draw blanks on specific things to say that I liked about the movie.
I liked seeing all the old combos that we had, the best matches that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah,
I did like, as much as people didn't like it, and as much as Jay didn't like him, Danigan. Seeing Danigan was great, because I love Dan. Dan is my boy.
Oh yeah, Dan is awesome. I think he was 2 times as nutty as he usually is, and I think that's because he's been in there longer.
And why people don't like him, and I can understand why Jay didn't like him in this movie. Mind it, because, let's be honest, he was only in there for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was just because he was only in the movie for so long it cranked it up to max, because going off of, going off of the V cinemas where he's, the main villain of them, he's much, much different. So I guess that's...
Oh, wait, he's back to being bad guy again?
Yeah, have you not seen any of the...
I've been waiting for something that I'm not going to spoil!
They said that in the fucking preview at the end of Xsaid.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, like I said, while he was only there for like 5 minutes, they did really crank the fuck out of it. Just really crank that shit high. Like, for him. And that's fine. That's fine. I didn't mind them go up to 11. Honestly, that's better for him than staying completely just...
Yeah, like I said, it was worth it to have the little bit with him and Inari, who's just like... He's going full on with like playing up the god stuff with him, and he's just like, "Ah, I see you are a man of wisdom and talent. Finally, somebody who understands." And Onari's just,
"Or a man of culture."
You see him through the ring behind his back.
Yeah, he's just like, "Just keep playing along, guys. I've got this."
I can't lie. Having that little tiny scene, that little scene with him and the Bugster was just. Okay, that was funny.
Oh yeah, the bit where he's just hitting it completely untransformed.
That is pretty funny. It's like
to me, it was the fact that the Bugster was kind of like reaching his arms out, like, "You are a friend," and he just starts fucking wailing on the fucker.
But why in sword mode? Just go hammer on him, make it like a cartoon.
Because
already.
Yeah, but you don't hit somebody with a sword. You stab somebody with a sword. You hit people with a hammer.
You're saying that in the same series we had a banana knight using a fucking javelin as a sword.
No, spear! As a spear!
A spear.
As the a spear, orange he was using it as a sword.
Phil, did you not watch Gaim? He wasn't using it as a spear. He was using it as a sword, slicing and dicing.
I blame the combat department for that one.
About weapons. Anyways, but okay. And okay, so this is going to kind of to a bit of the bad, but it's more good to me now. There wasn't that many character interactions between the writers, like playing off of each other.
Yeah, that bothered me.
Yeah.
They were just there and happy together. I'm like, you could have had a bit more fun with it. Like, the biggest thing, and it kind of shocked me when it came out, because I was just like, oh shit, character interaction, whoa, was before, right? Where they're all, well, they all say their catchphrase at the same time, and they're like, oh shit, fuck, no, I'm sorry, you go first. Oh, let the new guy say it. Oh, okay.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was comedy gold, and that's like the only thing in the movie we get of that, and that's kind of, like, the most disappointing part, is that there's no more, like, shenanigans. We needed more shenanigans between the cast, and we didn't.
One scene felt like really genuine. Like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Did you want to go first? Oh, you fucked up. Oh, you fucked
up. Well, guys, if we wanted all that, the movie would be 2 hours 45 minutes.
Good point.
Shit out.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that, but there's only so much budget they have.
I can't forget this. I love Kyria's actor. I swear this wasn't written, because I think he ad libs a lot. I think he does ad lib.
It certainly does, because again, you know, minor spoiler for the V cinemas. There's a lot of points where he's just like pointing out dumb bullshit, and it's like, what the fuck, dude? You know, like why are you? Doing
I'm saying this I think now? He ad libs. I think he ad libs a lot of his lines, like when he's fighting the people on top of like the little balcony. He's like, oh shit, that's higher than I thought.
Yeah, like I think they're ad libs that he just tosses in, and you know that makes sense because they feel
it's like fun.
Ad libs. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm surprised that they let him get away with that, considering most directors don't mind doing the actors doing that ad libbing if it works. But most of the time you don't.
For him, it usually does work, because his character is supposed to be this kind of aloof, like laid back fighter, and it's like. Like I said, like that one scene in the balcony where he's fighting the guys, he jumps all the way up and he jumps back down. He's like, oh shit, this is higher than I thought it would be.
Okay, that was
like,
funny.
That's cool. I like that. And there was actually one. There was actually another example that I had from Five Ranger thing. Is that what it was called?
Go Ranger.
Go Rider?
Go Rider. And the special from the Go Rider where he had like one of the best lines. But, you know, let's not talk about Go Rider, because then we're going to go into, like, fucking hardcore conspiracy theory mode again.
That's and we just covered that already.
Really just deep conspiracy theories. But, yeah, that was fun. That was a fun little thing with him. Of course, I forgot. The best scene of the movie. God gets fucking exploded. Random what? Car. Yeah. Did you not see this?
Explain it to me.
Final fight. Everyone's running around. Everyone's going blah, 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 blah. Everyone's going crazy on their motorbikes. It's a motorcycle scene.
Yeah.
When they're driving.
Some random like blue SUV starts like driving, and the bad guys just shoot it up, and it explodes.
Oh yeah, that.
Just thinking, what the fuck?
Who's in that car?
Who cares? They're dead.
Like, it's actually, I was going to bring that up. Have you noticed that this is probably the Rider movie with the most like actual casualties?
A little bit,
yeah.
Casualties, because people fucking just all the buildings and shit just died, and I don't care what anyone says, that shit wasn't evacuated.
Nope.
There was guys
more deaths than the Garangi ever would.
Fucking dead.
It's a live screen, so it doesn't matter.
But still, more fatalities than caused by the Garangi.
Just it's fucking hilarious to me saying that. Like, what? And this movie was filled with all those like really weird, awkward mini moments. Would be really great if the rest of the movie wasn't just boring.
Well, the problem again, I like I said, how when it felt like we're watching the Ultraman movie, it was all style over substance.
At least with Ultraman, again, I'm going to keep saying it this way. With Ultraman, it was less fan, it was less fan servicey for us because we don't know these characters.
Jay does, here, but we don't.
At least here, we knew these characters. Then, like, it still felt boring. So that's a very big knock on the movie.
True.
But the Ultraman movie, someone who knows these characters is going to get a kick out of seeing these guys. With this one, of it. But what do we have to show for it besides a few small little lines and that one scene where they're all saying their catchphrase? And I'm like, after that,
yeah,
nothing to it.
Yeah, it's kind of bare bones in terms of interactions between the cast. I mean, what we do get is pretty fun, but it's lacking, and I think that's why the previous one was so so much better. Because we get all of
which. Let's move on to the comparisons because fuck it, we gotta do it now. As Jay was saying, well, for me at least, for me personally, this movie doesn't hold a candle to the first one.
Yeah, all the stuff about the I already forgot what I was gonna say. Ignore me then. Continue.
This movie does not.
Oy vey.
That was my phone. Movie does not hold a candle to the original at all. The first one was way more fun. It had a lot more action. It had a lot more excitement.
Yeah.
I threw my phone. Anyways. So it had a lot more fun. It had a lot more excitement. A lot more action. It had Tana fucking Hashi. It had Pac-Man.
It also had legs.
This movie didn't have Tanahashi. This movie didn't have
Pat. He's automatically fucking shit.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it also didn't have? Novelty store swords.
Those either.
Yeah. It did not have rubber sword. No, plastic swords from the plastic. Dollar Tree.
Yeah, or
Dollar Tree.
Or girls wearing with beautiful legs.
We couldn't afford.
If you look hard enough, I mean, I guess Poppy has nice legs.
Oh, you! I got really say, you can't really say
look,
anything
you
with
know
me.
What? Look, Phil. Do you want nice legs or do you want Ankh's like collarbone? I mean, come on.
hey, Hurricane Blue is working. Call her in.
She's busy.
Ankh. We had to spend a lot of the budget just to get Ankh's hair that way. So you know, we're not going to get legs.
Yeah.
He's barely in the movie either.
But when he's there, again, that kind of comes back to the whole thing of like screen presence. Like,
it was still.
I'm sorry to say, but next to people like AG and people like Ankh, they just don't hold a candle.
Yeah,
they just don't. Yeah. Like. Even with Gaim, a show that I really don't care for, Sento next to Kota, I'm like, I'm gonna go with the orange guy.
It's pretty fucking awesome.
Put Sento next to Kota. I'm rooting for the orange guy way more. You know what I mean? Charismatic, and I think that's kind of a thing of the way the writers made this, like, wrote this story out.
Well, you haven't seen much of builds yet, and Sento does.
I've watched up to 20, dude. I mean, that's still, and like right now, it's up to like what 36. That's not very far off.
He's pretty good, but he's gotten better.
That doesn't matter though. Like his character himself, written does not really hold a candle to the way Kota is written. And I know that people can come after me saying, "Well, that is like post endgame Kota." Compared to 17 build. I'm like, I get that. But at the same time, I can't, you know, I can't give him a handicap that way saying, well, in that case, I guess he's all right. Like,
yeah, I get
you that. Really look, when you really look at it, like, Taro, I barely notice build. I'm like, builds there. Can we just get back to Gentaro? Can we get back to Gaim? Can we get back to Edgy? Let's get back to the real fucking writers of this movie.
Yeah, build felt a little out of character at points too. I mean, like all the shit with him being like, oh, the magic bottle fairy gave me this weird cool toy, and it's, you know, I can just conveniently have this weird premonition vision dream thing, and everybody's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's retarded, Sento. Shut up. You're supposed to be the smart one.
Well, I'm glad, you know, bottles, they, bottles, man, they fuck you up. Like, I'm doing bottles, kids.
I'm glad I already knew that Sento was Katsuragi, because Jesus Christ, going into this movie, I would have immediately realized Sento was Katsuragi, because they do a very, very bad job at trying to hide that fact.
Even I can figure that one out.
Granted, I think that was intentional, but it still comes off as lazy, because he's just like, oh, well, the bottle goop made me have the memories of him when he was built, so that's why I knew about all that. And they're like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense, Sento. What are you talking about?
Holding bottles that give me the happy dreams.
Even Bancho was like, dude, maybe you are Katsuragi. And he's like, no, shut the fuck up. That's not true. That's stupid. That makes no sense.
You'd think that with typing in all that computer stuff, he would know.
The one person who would have immediately realized, and he's acting like a complete idiot for no reason.
I'm saying, like, in this movie, at least, I don't know, it's just, and it sucks to say it that way, because going back to the wrestling analogy, it's like you have Stone Cold, you got The Rock, you got Hulk Hogan, and then you got him next to fucking, like, I don't know, Tyler Breeze and
Tyler Perry? Fucking,
and Eric Rowan and fucking what's the other guy's name? Titus O'Neil. Like, you got these three jobbers next to the fucking stars.
You guys know I have no idea what you're talking
about. Good.
Somewhat. But yeah, it's like you have these three fucking jobbers next to like the stars, and it's like, man. And, like, at least in Generations 1, you had Drive, you had Gaim, you had Ghost, you had Wizard. At least all of them are of the same kind of, like, ish caliber. I mean, just to be completely honest, Drive is way better than, you know, Ghost or Wizard. But...
well, not even a contest.
But, like, you had X8, you know, and, again, Emmy was all right, but, like, they're all of the same caliber, you know, they're fine, they're all right. But once you bring in those older actors from those better shows, it's like, that's not even a fucking contest, man. They're just so overshadowed.
Yeah.
That's probably my biggest problem with this movie, is compared to the first one, it's just that guys that we're supposed to care about, they're overshadowed by the bigger guys, the bigger stars, the people with more charisma. I like M. I like Sento. I don't give a shit about Takaru. I'm next to these big boys. It's like, man, you're
well, I think it's also because we've known them longer and we love them for that.
Say it that, though, because, someone like AG and you put him next to someone like M. I'm sorry, but M doesn't hold a candle to AG. He has way more charisma. Because let's be honest. I know I love X8, but let's be completely honest. M is the weakest part of that show. Personality than he does. So when you put him next to...
the highest.
To O's, it's like... That's what I'm saying. At least in Generations 1, they were all of the same line of charisma that they could, you know, work off of each other. And of course, Tanahashi and Rubber Sword, or Plastic Sword, I mean.
Yeah.
After that, it's just... I mean, I guess final thoughts. This movie... It, for it being the big finale to the Heisei phase... I don't know.
Which is kind of sad. Which is kind of sad when you realize it.
Going out with a bang. It's going out with a whatever, I guess. And again, it sucks because I like I said, I love these characters. I love John. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I love Eiji. I love Gentaro. Ankh is fucking amazing. Done way better. It could have done way fucking better. Yeah, but like, if this is Heisei Generation's final, could you guys not have, you know, thrown a couple more yen and gotten someone like Tendo? Probably. I don't know, or Wataru, somewhere around there. I'm pretty sure he's doing something.
They probably couldn't.
Look, Tendo can do whatever he wants.
True, but that's not the point.
It's like, if this is the final Heisei Generations movie, can we get a few people from post-decade Heisei? You know, just to really... Man, look at that. This is the end. There's got to be somebody from post-Heisei, like pre-decade Heisei that we could get.
Probably.
Still doing.
You know. We could... Well, we can't get Deno.
Because he doesn't fucking give a shit.
We could get Kabuto. that would be interesting. Kabuto paired up with Dan.
Say, I could at least see, because a lot of people, you know, everyone's going to say, you know, Kuga is the real beginning of the, you know, the Heisei era that we know. But Kuga is so drastically different, and Agito was really writer that started off all of the Heisei like cliches and tropes that we know now. So technically, if you gotten him, you could have been like, he's like the daddy of Heisei. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope that his actor wants to come back. So I'm like,
they could have brought him back.
Back Gills and showed that his dog has grown up or possibly run over because, you know, Gills is suffering.
The dog just died to fuck the next day.
Got run over.
By a reindeer.
Oh, you know, just fuck it. Just have Dan run it over.
No! It'll or how about sense. That blue SUV? That blue SUV and it exploded in retribution. It
was in the blue SUV. And it exploded.
You guys can't say it wasn't.
Gills' dog was driving the SUV and he exploded. Oh god, that poor bastard.
This is... Oh.
My final thing to say is it's really funny to think that Xaid went through all the trouble to get the bottles of his essence back just to give him video game AIDS all over again.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
Think about it. When you think about it, he went through all that trouble just to get AIDS.
That sounds so wrong.
It just be like that sometimes, AJ, okay?
The movie. Xaid gets AIDS.
I would not want to see that.
Then start playing the It's Always Sunny Philadelphia theme.
Damn it.
Perfect. But yeah, what about you guys? Final thoughts on Heisei Generation's final Xaid X Alpha 22 LGBTQA NBA 2020, Here's How Bernie Can Still Win, BuzzFeed article 25.
Jay, do you want to go first?
I thought it was all right. I mean, it definitely wasn't as good as the previous one. It just kind of existed. I mean, it could have been better. It could have been great.
It's a movie.
It was good, but it could have been great.
And all I can say but is...
I think it was... I was just going to go off of Jay real quick before I let you go. I think I am a bit spoiled, though, because it comes out and this is like kind of like off the heels after I had watched... But, you know, but I think you understand what I mean when I say I watched Infinity War, and that was a movie that had 20 characters...
Yeah.
And they all worked well. I know that that is amazingly unfair writers that Marvel has to the writers that Toei has. But still, I can't help but say that crossover's done way better. For fuck's sake, Mega Max is still the king of these crossovers.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know they could do better, and I'm very disappointed that they didn't.
Yeah, with all I can say is it's not. I mean, it's not as fun as Dr. Pac-Man from last year, because that one was funny, ironically, at times.
It's not as funny. It's not as funny as a fucking Spectre v Cinema.
Oh,
Revenge of the Ganma.
Okay, that's only funny when you watch it with friends.
That's only funny when you really think about it in the sense of like, holy shit, Toei remade Revenge of the Sith.
Except worse somehow.
Darth Denton lies. But okay, this
should I have the high ground?
No more quoting.
It's over, Ellen. I have the high ground.
Just watch I have this movie the high... once.
It's said that you would destroy the gun when not show them.
Fuck.
Bring balance to the friendships, not plunge it into time.
Please stop!
I've watched that fucking prequel movie so many times. I love
it. And remember how you made all the Ganma Force ghosts as Spectre walked away.
Oh my god, I absolutely love that clip. You know what? If no one's seen it, I'm gonna re-upload it onto the YouTube channel. No one's gonna understand. No one's gonna get it unless they heard that podcast. But nope. Fuck it, I'm putting it up again because it's a great fucking clip.
Absolutely was.
But that being said, I think Heisei Generation's final LGBTQIA World War II Matchbox 20
Solo a Star Wars movie.
Or Habringer Perry Gibson Pro Scan Alpha 2 featuring Knuckles and Dante from Mountain Dew May Cry. Anyways, so yes, Will, I think that's all we got to say. So as always, I'm AJ, that's Jay.
Good night.
Flu. That's Phil.
Au revoir.
And fun. Don't get video game AIDS, and we'll see you all next time.